Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome everyone, and today I have with me in the studio Jennifer Brown, and our session is going to be about positive ageing. We've talked in previous weeks about the better later life strategy. We've talked about various aspects of positive ageing and age friendly and different programs over the last 2 years. But this morning it's really special because Jennifer is a wellbeing consultant on positive ageing. She's specialising in mental health and specifically on dementia. So welcome, Jennifer.
Oh, hello, Anne. Nice to be with you this morning. And thank you for inviting me.
Yes, and Jennifer, as a 70-something New Zealander, is back from 20 years working in the mental health consulting field in the UK. So she has fresh insights on how New Zealand has changed and the issues in mental health as they're seen internationally and as where things are moving to and what new things people are trying. So as science reveals more about the brain's working and what accelerates deterioration of brain functions and what slows the deterioration down, we're getting a handle on what we can do, how we can intervene. And so it's a very exciting time because there's lots of options that people haven't had in the past. And we've discovered that we share some values together and approaches in common in respect to what we're advocating for. So Jennifer, it's really delightful to have you on board and with us for the session, and we also can see the contribution you're going to make in Auckland, and it's going to be exciting.
Well, thank you, Anne, for that lovely introduction, and I'm very happy to be here. I need to say, though, I am actually 78. Really, I'm 78 years old, and I have worked in the UK until I'm 78. I've only just come here a few months ago. So, and I would like to just say that is the difference that I see here, that older women and older people can continue to work in the UK and internationally, and I feel that that needs to be much more encouragement for older folk to be seen and enabled to work here.
Thank you for that. I think there's a movement, the Better Later Life Strategy actually talks about breaking down barriers in regards to employment and improving accessibility and support for those with low vision, with hearing difficulties, mobility issues and so on. And I guess that if you start to individualise decision making and employment like that with support and you legislate for the support to be provided, then you make it easier for everybody.
Absolutely right. And I'm glad to hear you talk about legislation, Anne, because I think it is legislation, government legislation, that can change things, you know. I am aware that that's a very important thing, and I'm very pleased to hear the New Zealand government seeming to be changing in that regard since I was here a few years ago, or 20 years ago, really, because it certainly has changed now.
Yes, well, we've just been on the receiving end of a wellbeing budget, of hearing how the government intends to spend money on improving wellbeing. And that's a first, to actually angle the budget in that way. And so we're going to be having more about that in our programs and our discussions in our monthly meetings at Grey Power. But we also have a minister, the Minister for Seniors, the Honourable Tracy Martin, who is very dedicated to positive ageing and wellbeing of seniors. And so she has actively campaigned to get money in this budget that will be devoted to providing more access and digital support, to improve information channels to seniors, more support in strengthening the gold card as purchasing power with discounts, and making information about the gold card available on an app on phones, and also working to improve how people are treated in the workplace in terms of accidents. Because currently, if you are employed, you pay your ACC levies, but you don't get any benefits. If you're an older person, you are expected to live on National Super. Just on National Super, and you can't access 80% of your wages the way a working person paying levies to ACC can do. But you're still a working person, but you're not treated as a working person. And so that anomaly is being fixed as from the 1st of July. Instead of having to make a choice whether you're a worker or a retiree, you can actually be both. You can actually get your pension and 80% of your wage.
Oh,
if you have an accident.
Well, that is a big change and something very, very positive. I think that is very, very positive, Anne, and I like to hear that, really, because I was thinking as you spoke, I said, that is very unfair. You know, that would create a fear, wouldn't it, in people, and be a real deterrent to them. But I'm very much an advocate for purposeful, meaningful activities as being, as underpinning well-being in older people. They need, you know, fulfilling activities and things that they can actually engage with and from their life history, really. So a life history, most important.
Okay, so we're going to switch to some music now.
Right.
From local youth, from the Linfield College Band. And I shouldn't have actually said that. I should have said that after people had listened to the music. They wouldn't have believed it was just local youth, because they're just fantastic. They're really, they could be any from anywhere in the world. They're on a very high standard indeed. And so it's an album that I really like. And so the track is Take the A-Train, and I hope we are on the A-Train with regards to positive ageing.
I love to hear the music, Anne.
Okay.
You might have something to do with you. Every time you hear me, my body gets hot. Don't need no doctor, I know what I've got. I caught a touch of your love and came on overnight. I must have held you too tight. Touch of your love, it came on overnight. I must have held you too tight. Last night I caught a touch of your love. The feel from your kisses tears me apart. It starts from your lips and goes straight to my heart. No use pretending, 'cause baby I'm sure. Tears me apart. It starts from your lips and goes straight.
Welcome back, everyone. And I have in the studio Jennifer Brown. So if you missed our intro, Jennifer is a mental health specialist and she's very interested in dementia. So we're going to carry on our conversation. We've focused on wellness and positive aging. We started there and we're going to actually look into the fact that this is a continuum. There are situations that people meet and they may not be clear where the person they're looking at fits on a continuum. But it's very important what approach you use and what attitude you have. And it's with that theme that Jennifer and I are having this conversation. And I was going to ask you, Jennifer, if you were able to share, no names, of course, but able to share a situation where somebody was being labelled, even though they had mild dementia, they were being excluded and they weren't being catered for in their social situation they found themselves. Would you like to share about that?
Well, I absolutely can, Anne. And I would like to talk about a situation in a coffee shop, really, where a lady who did have, I would say, early onset going into the second stage of dementia. We'll call her Sally. And the people around ignored her, you know, made sure she was comfortable, person was comfortable, had their coffee, and then continued the conversation. And I became aware of this and ignored who was speaking and spoke to this lady and found she was most interesting. Asking her questions about herself, being interested in who she was, that makes all the difference. Being interested in a person, listening to who they were, hearing, observing, and including. It's inclusion. It's how you do that is so important. I really think that is an important fact, Anne. The ability to treat these people with respect and understanding. That an example that you would, is that a?
Yes, that was the type of situation I was envisaging. And of course that's in the era of mild dementia, but if we're thinking of, you know, other more extended situations, it gets maybe trickier. But I think underneath, no matter how aware or with it or engaged a person is, I believe there is an intrinsic response to what attitude they are meeting.
I absolutely agree with you. And in the later stages, behaviour becomes the language. Behaviour becomes the language. When words are lost, behaviour becomes the language. And interpreting that behaviour is important, because if you don't understand that, you cannot show these people respect. If you don't understand the background, you don't show that interest, if you don't understand this, you are not able to include these people, you cannot be person-centred. Mm. And I think these are the things, these are the messages I would like to get out. And as an example, I'd like to say, if you see a person sitting in a residential home or dementia care home who gets up and goes to the door, and the person caring for them brings them back and sits them down, they get up and they go to the door again, they're brought back again, then they get angry. The message is they want to go out. And if you were brought back and you wanted to go out, you too would be angry, I believe.
Yes, and I'm thinking of a few cases where this escalated into violence and the person was actually banned from the place. They actually were not able to stay any longer, even though they had a license to occupy. And so that's the problem with a lot of these agreements too.
Exactly. It's attitudinal. It's an attitudinal change that's needed to, and a better understanding of just what I'm saying, the interpretation of language, the behaviour. When a baby, the language of babies is crying. Mm. The language of people who have dementia is their behaviour. They are inside. The person exists. They're telling you something. They want to be heard. And you're right, they get angry, they become aggressive, and they are blamed.
Mm.
They bear that. They bear that. But in turn, they do know, they do understand, they respond to respect.
And when it comes down to things, I think that people do change when they enter into a large complex. So I won't talk about villages because most of us think of villages as small places like a tiny town with individual housing, but retirement villages are large-scale multi-story buildings where people are housed but don't necessarily always engage. So there is a disengagement takes place with some of them, and in that context they become more isolated, more dependent, and they're not engaging with the outside world as much. Now, that's on the negative side. On the positive side, some people thrive, particularly those who are natural extroverts. They become the life and soul of the party, and they have an audience, a day-to-day audience, which they never had in their own street. So they're often very happy in those spaces. So it takes all types, and it doesn't suit all types. But this has just been my experience of observation of various people I've known, people who've been in Grey Power and who've moved into these places and so on. But I'm just wondering, in terms of the psychology that we know of, the locus of control concept, where when people become passive, when they become institutionalized, when the power resides outside of them, or they think it does, then they are in a different kind of relationship to everybody.
I'd like to speak briefly about what I became aware of was the butterfly approach.
Mm.
I'm not sure whether that's anyone here is familiar with this, but it does empower people in the later stages of dementia, and I would say in all sorts of environments, really, where people are disempowered, so that you change the environment around, so that instead of it being the environment controlling the person, it empowers them. So you surround the environment with interesting activities and dress-up clothes, as if you're providing stimulation, the cognitive stimulation so lacking often, and then a person makes the choice themselves. They might move to this or they move to that. Something triggers. They move. They actually make a choice. And the carers are trained to be observers, and they facilitate. They move with that person. Would you like to do this? Would you like to try that hat on? Do you want to sweep the floor? Let's tidy your room. So you facilitate what they instigate by their behavior. And this is very empowering, gives people choices. And instead of expecting clothes to be buttoned up properly, nicely dressed and sitting in the lounge looking lovely, they, haven't you done well? You dressed yourself. And it doesn't matter that it's inside out, buttoned up the wrong way. You know, you look wonderful today, and I love the colour of your jersey. Let's go out in the garden and walk. It's a lovely day. That is normalisation, and this is what I feel we need to start to present, so that the control is put back in the person. We begin to engage. We understand them.
So this butterfly approach is very interesting, and I understand that you are keen to facilitate opportunities for people who are working in the field to learn how to use this.
I'd love to be able to talk to people about how they can use this in their residential homes and care homes, where activities are being carried out, and so that instead of saying today we're going to do bingo at 3 o'clock. And everybody comes to bingo. The activities are all day. Everything we do is an activity and can be facilitated by the people around. So it is something I want to promote, and definitely. And so thank you for allowing me to talk about it here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And it's very exciting, really, because I think that it's an approach that's been used with children.
Yes.
At the other end of the lifespan.
Yes.
Very successfully.
Yes.
I think it's understood in that sector.
It is.
Very well. And so we now that we have so many older adults, it's a growing aging population, and they are living longer. We are having to realise that the rate of dementia is increasing rapidly, and the number and range of clients in this area and their needs will put demands on the system.
Mm.
And if the system can be more flexible, then it will be more fun for the people who work in it. It will be more engaging for everybody. And I think there will be less stress. Because my experience, looking back over life in the 1970s and 80s, where it was very much a process in mental health of whipping a label on somebody quickly and getting them institutionalised as fast as possible, then we had the sudden schism of the closure of all these institutions and people being emptied out into the community. But alas, there wasn't the same resourcing available at the time when, in the 80s, the society got restructured and jobs disappeared. And a lot of safe environments where the railway workshops and places that took in people who had disabilities and various difficulties in the brain department, they were able to work alongside people and be considered part of the community. And suddenly that option disappeared. So in a way, it is time to rethink what would be best and what we can do, because we're going to need to plan for it quickly, because by 2035, one in four will be over 65, but there will be an even accelerated group above 80, some of whom are going to be quite vulnerable.
What we need to look at, I think, and my grey power might want to look at, is how we can remove some of that difference, because what I'm thinking is mental health and dementia are actually different.
Mm.
But under the umbrella of the way people see it, they're not different. It is all, they all have a mental health problem. It is mental health. But they are different, really. There is a difference. But we need to sort of disregard these labels, see these people as at a stage of aging, include everybody, unconditional acceptance of people as they are, and then bring a celebratory feeling into this of enjoyment of everybody. It is a stage of life we're going through. 65 to however long we live. It's a stage of life. We live through it. We must enjoy it. It is a time to enjoy, celebrate life and be creative. And this way we are generating well-being, and if we can generate well-being, we're going to have less mental illness in the older person, and less mental illness generally. So I applaud Jacinda Ardern with her well-being budget. I would like to be part of facilitating that for her in this country.
Mm. Indeed. And I'm thinking now that there's also lots of conversation happening about how we respond to the better later life strategy, so that even though the submissions have closed, there will be lots of conversation. So Tracy Martin, the Honourable Tracy Martin, the Minister for Seniors, is actually coming to the annual general meeting of Auckland Grey Power, and she will be talking about the better later life strategy, some of the concepts that's driven the strategy document, some of the considerations that she has got in mind, bearing in mind that the way people are in the community is slightly different depending on whether you're rural or urban, depending on what sort of services that you already have existing, and what sort of services can be maintained easily. Where you have concentrations of older people, you get a more responsive council very often. You get council because they realise that these are the people that vote for them. They actually do more for them. I know in Auckland we have on Whangaparoa Peninsula a very interesting local board who make it their business to make sure the town centre and its development and planning has non-slip servicing. It has suitable seating that you can get yourself out of easily. With proper railings that you can lean on, and they look after their footpaths. They make sure they advocate to Auckland Transport about the footpaths in a way that they get results. So there are pockets where things are starting to move in the right direction. I think that it's very important that we look at the way events are organised, so events are inclusive, so that they are accessible, and so we actually find ways to have intergenerational dialogue between the young and the old, because this is all part of inclusivity and it's part of generating a positive attitude. So even if people don't start out arriving at a venue and an event with a positive attitude, they might have their eyes opened through the way it's structured and what they experience of older people.
We see that, I think. Well, I have seen this in the past, in this country, in the country towns, where people are included. Children and old people, you know, the older community, the young, they come together in a very inclusive way. It's in the cities, I think, we see it as needing to be more, a better view of that and how we do that. The other thing I'm seeing here is the five well-being concepts, the five well-being points. Mm. I was very pleased to see this, Anne, that they've got these here documented so that they are guidelines for implementing well-being.
Indeed, the Mental Health Foundation's five ways to well-being is something that has been possible for people to champion, including local boards like the Puke Te Papa local board that I am elected to, has made it their business to fund groups in the community that are growing awareness and doing events around these ways to well-being. We're going to switch to some music now just to finish off, and the title is Fly Me to the Moon, and it's again the young people who are so inspiring from the Linfield College Band, and I must say they're just an example of the many wonderful youth in this country who are really fantastic. And I think we can be all doom and gloom about what's going wrong with the country, but I think we have got a lot of fine young people doing a fine job. So let's listen to their music. And thank you for coming.
No, thank you, Anne.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.